Click kaya959.co.za.
This is how we do it.
To download the Point of View podcast.
Well, thank you for staying with us. It's Point of View. My name is Pimela Mutine, and we welcome into studio our guest who has been giving us a series on tax matters, and we are calling it Taxing Times. Yeah, I'm sure you know all about tax now, especially after the VAT conversation the country has been having. So welcome to it. We are going to be embarking on this conversation with CEO of NetVest Business, Busisiwe Mdletshe, who is really our guru here when it comes to all things tax matters. And we've come up with a little family. I don't know if it's little. Maybe it's got little people as well. I'm not sure if it's a little family. But the Shabalalas are the family that we are putting our focus on. And we've spoken about various parts of their involvement in tax and other members of the family. But today we want to speak about a very Lani member of the family who is a board member, you know, who's living the life. And Busi, by the way, hello and welcome.
Good evening, Pamela. Thank you for having me.
And, you know, someone called and said to her, listen, while you're living your best life, you know, you've been working hard in corporate, isn't it time you just become a board member? And she thought, you're speaking my language. You know, who wants to wake up every day and work? I want to do one or two meetings a year, maybe three or four or five or six, and earn my money and have the best time of my life. Until the taxman sent a little note to Miss Lindiwe Shabalala. What was the note saying?
It's tough for Miss Lindiwe Shabalala. So the note is from her accountant.
Yes.
The accountant is just reminding her that she must issue a tax invoice.
Yes.
Because she sits as a non-executive director in one of the companies. And the reason she's reminding her to send a tax invoice is because she's supplying a service. So when you sit as a non-executive director, you are not an employee of the company, but you are like an independent contractor because you are just advising as a board member, right? So you don't get remunerated. So you are not on the payroll. So when you send a tax invoice, it means the tax invoice will have the VAT amount. So what the accountant is actually reminding her is you send the tax invoice, meaning you are registered for VAT purposes, right? Or you should be registered for VAT purposes. Now, Lindiwe is shocked because she's thinking, I'm just an individual. Why must I be registered for VAT? Because I'm not running a business.
Yes. What are these services? What am I selling?
What am I selling? Yeah. But then she's forgetting that because she's a board member, she's selling services.
The
nature of the supply is it's called a service. That's how it's defined in the VAT Act. So it's not employment income. Because what she actually does is she provides governance, oversight, and strategic direction to a company. So that is a service.
Is the issue the amount? Because you and I spoke about that, that there's a threshold. In
yes.
other words, part of why she gets to send in this invoice is, and she's now paying VAT, is because of the amount she's making over a year. Is that the issue?
So the first issue is because she's rendering a service,
mm-hmm.
so she's carrying on an enterprise.
Mm-hmm.
So you're carrying on an enterprise if you are rendering a service. So there's a supply that is provided to
yes.
this company. So because there's an enterprise, therefore she's rendering a taxable supply in this case. And because it's a taxable supply and she has exceeded the threshold of that million rands over a period of 12 consecutive months, then she must be registered for VAT.
Okay.
Yeah.
I want to stay with the threshold.
Yeah.
Because would it still apply to someone who's a non-executive director in an NPO, for instance, where maybe, I don't know, we're just giving you, we're saying, Busi, you know, you're so wonderful. Lindiwe, you're so wonderful. Thank you. You're doing country duty.
Yeah.
Thank you. We just maybe give you, I don't know, 500 rand,
mm-hmm.
I don't know, every time you come to a meeting.
Yes.
Nothing that meets a threshold.
Yeah.
Would that still matter?
she doesn't need to be registered, because for her to be registered, she can be voluntarily registered if she exceeds or she earns more than 50,000 rands in a period of 12 consecutive
months. But that would be voluntary.
Yes. But otherwise, it becomes compulsory once it's more than a million.
Yes. So it is about the threshold. It's about the amount.
Exactly.
It's about the amount.
Yes.
Okay.
It's about, sorry, Pamela, it's about the amount, but also she must be a non-executive director.
Okay.
So she can't be an executive director, because the executive one, it's someone who's hired on a full-time basis. Yes, they are paid a salary, and there's pay-as-you, and this is withheld.
Yeah, within the business.
Exactly.
Right. I don't know if I'm asking you an illegal question, but would it be illegal for someone to say to the business, can you pay me as an employee? In other words, the funds you're supposed to pay me as a non-executive director, can you pay me as if you're paying me a salary?
Meaning you must withhold pay as you earn.
You must.
Okay, you can do that because now you are touching on a different tax type, which is pay as you earn. Now, pay as you earn is income tax.
Yes.
So what would ordinarily happen is if Lindiwe submits an invoice, she gets paid, and then she would have charged the client VAT as well, right? And then that VAT she would submit to SARS when she submits her VAT returns. Then come the end of the tax year of assessment, she'll have to submit her income tax return. That's where now she'll declare all these director's fees, and then she will pay income tax. But sometimes for cash flow purposes or for budgeting purposes, people think, come end of the year, I won't have this money now because I would have used it. So they will talk to the company to say, can you please withhold pay as you earn, even though I'm a non-executive director, so that at the end of the year, I don't have a lot to pay to SARS when, you know, they're doing those reconciliations during the tax season. So you can do that, but it doesn't change the fact that
you
are not a full-time employee.
I see. I see. It's just them facilitating it, making it easy, but it's still, the regulation remains the regulation. Got you. Okay. You said the it's because of the nature of the, let's
the
call
supply.
It a supply,
yes,
right?
Yes.
That makes it very specific in the sense that your intellectual property is still a service that you're giving to the business.
You are giving a service, because think about this. There's a company that is run here, and we need someone who would come and advise us, you know, who's just going to be, you know, that sounding board, or would provide some strategic decision or direction, you know, in what we are doing as the company. So that person is rendering a service, you know, it's a supply. So because it's a supply, the nature of that supply, it's a standard supply for VAT purposes. That's why, therefore, then this person needs to charge us VAT.
So with now the proposed budget, not adopted yet, the proposed budget, anything new that has changed from the previous one with regards to non-executive directors?
Not really, because remember, if they charge VAT, we said it's a standard supply, so VAT would be at the standard
rate that remains.
However, what the minister now is emphasizing is we need to collect as much as possible, you know, because we have needs, you know. Now, he says he's going to place more emphasis on professional services. So non-executive directors will be included there. So there will be compliance audits that will be conducted. So when that happens, people like Lindiwe must make sure that they have sufficient supporting documents. Because unfortunately, if, think about this, Pamela, with VAT, when you paid over to SARS, that's not your money, because you would have charged someone else. Because when Lindiwe sends her invoice to this company where she sits as a non-executive director, so her fees would be, for example, 100,000. But then now she adds 15% because that's what the law says. Then she ends up being paid 115,000 rands. That 15,000 rands is
not
hers. The board fees are only 100,000. So she needs to, because she's now like an agent for SARS, she needs to pay to SARS.
I want us to really emphasize the importance of what you've just said and look at it in practical terms and what the implications are. So apart from SARS and the taxman that needs you to pay for this money, in the event that the company knows that you are not paying over VAT, you can be asked to leave the board. Would you be considered to be a delinquent? Because your role is to have oversight and governance matters being something that you have oversight over.
Exactly. Because think about this, your role.
Yes.
Is you are here because of governance,
exactly.
You know, amongst other things.
Exactly.
Now, if you are not a law-abiding citizen, you're not fit and proper, to sit as the board member. But also what I've seen now, most companies, when they hire non-executive directors, they want a tax clearance certificate, to show that you are compliant, when it comes to taxes. Then they would look at all the tax types. Mm. So not only just income tax, where you'd be paying pays you earn because it's withheld by your employer. Because, you'd find that a person is also an employee elsewhere.
Yes.
They get a salary, they pay pays you earn, and they are board member. So if you decide that you're non-executive director but you don't submit these VAT returns, so your tax clearance certificate will show that you're not compliant, because there's this VAT, tax type that is hanging where you haven't made all the declarations to SARS.
Okay. I want us to really focus a little bit on the declaration, because declaration is not necessarily saying that you are not paying. In this way, if you have not met the threshold, like we discussed earlier, it doesn't mean you don't declare. In other words, you must tell SARS that this is what I've earned. You don't ignore it.
That's a good question, Pamela.
Yes.
So how it works is, if you don't meet the threshold and you decide I'm not going to be registered even voluntarily, so you don't have VAT obligations.
Yes.
Even your invoice would not have VAT.
Mm-hmm.
But for income tax purposes, come end of the tax year of assessment, you will have to declare that
this
income
is it.
As part of
you
income
must.
Tax.
That's the point. You have to declare it.
Yeah.
Come what may. Even if you're under the threshold, you've got to
declare it. Because that threshold is for VAT.
Exactly.
But for income tax, you must say
that I earned this 15 rands. Yes, the law says that I can earn it and not pay over VAT, but I've earned 15 rand.
Yes.
And then you must fall within the right tax bracket.
100%.
Okay. We are going to be sitting next week having a conversation about another member of the Shabalalas.
Ayanda.
Yeah.
Ayanda is a hustler. Ayanda, she's doing all sorts of things. when a person has a security and catering company, they do all sorts of projects.
Ayanda doesn't want to go hungry. Guys, Ayanda just does not want to go hungry. Say what you want. Oksalai. Ayanda's not asking for your money.
Yeah. She's a real hustler. But now Ayanda is short. That's SARS.
And Ayanda is also selling all sorts of other products at work.
Anything and everything.
Easy.
Whatever that is.
Cosmetics. It's Captini.
Tender premium.
Yeah. We are Nita. Beading. Does nails on the side.
But now she's shocked how SARS got to know.
Because she's also selling wigs as well. So how did SARS find out?
But the interesting part, Pemelo, literally yesterday someone asked me about taxi owners.
Yes. Public
transport. Why they don't pay tax. And I was trying to look for a section in the act, why they don't pay tax. But I realized that there's no section that exempts them from paying tax. It's just that if a person owns taxes and they are not registered as a business, so then there won't be tax that is payable by the business, because the business is non-existent. But them as individuals, because this money comes to them, they need to declare this income. But the challenge that the government is,
it's
because
cash.
It's a cash business.
Cash.
Yes.
It's a cash business.
So that's what Ayanda is suffering from, because most of her businesses or most of the stuff that she does, she gets paid in cash. So she's shocked when SARS writes to her and say, Ayanda, you need to declare. But we'll discuss more of it next week.
We will discuss more of it, because one of the things you must think about is that actually SARS has spies everywhere. It's one of the things. There is no way you can be unemployed and living in Sandton and you tell us you've earned nothing.
Lifestyle audit.
I mean, like, really?
Lifestyle audit will tell, because now how did you afford
that house in
while you don't have income?
Because even if, and as I said, we'll come back to this next week, even if you get the spousal maintenance, it's money you are getting, and therefore it's not zero.
It's not zero.
It's not zero.
Although there would be certain exemptions.
Correct.
Yes, but it's something that you need to declare.
To declare.
Yeah, yeah.
It's about saying, I am receiving XYZ. You can't pretend. Oh, in fact, you can't ignore the tax man. You can't just sit at home, keep receiving money from, even if it means your friends, Jay, you know, are so nice that every month they know that when you must do your hair and your nails and whatever, and you get this allowance from a friend X, then you've got a boyfriend who sends you this kind of money, and then you have a malume somewhere with a Swiss bank. All that money must be accounted for.
It must be. And you know what's good about getting gifts from malume and boyfriend and everyone else? So these people, they could claim, you could
donations.
Say it was donations.
Yeah.
But now SARS would say, okay, if it's donations, that person should have paid donations tax.
Yeah.
Now what the tax act says is, if that person cannot prove that they've paid donations tax, then you become responsible.
So now you must pay your own donation tax.
Yeah.
You must tell us how much was donated to you,
yeah,
because the malume didn't pay donations tax. So we then ask you, Sisi, did you make sure that your malume has paid donation tax?
Otherwise, it would be deemed to be ordinary income.
Yes.
Where now they'll have to look at those tax brackets and say,
including
services somewhere.
Including the boyfriend. If the boyfriend is giving you this allowance,
I think you must tell him. You must tell him to withhold donations tax.
People's eyes are going like this. If the boyfriend is giving you boyfriend allowance, and you are a girlfriend to a husband of someone, ask him if he's declared at home that he's paying donations to somebody. Because if he doesn't, you are going to have to pay.
So you must just tell the boyfriend, take 20%, go pay it over to SARS, then you can give me the remainder.
Oksalai, there must be declarations.
Yeah.
Thank you, Musi.
Thank you, Pamela.
Thank you. We'll be back next week with more of the Shabalalas and tax matters on Point of View.
Click kaya959.co.za.
This is how we do it.
To download the Point of View podcast.